Our Old Covenant reading this evening is from Psalm 112. I would ask that you would keep your place here in Psalm 112, as this will be the portion of God's Word for this evening's sermon. Psalm 112, we'll read the entire psalm together. This is the Word of our God. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and merciful and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and it melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Here ends the Old Covenant reading. Keep your finger in Psalm 112 and turn with me to our New Covenant reading. 2 Corinthians 9 will be reading from verses 1 through verse 15. Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers, so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Here ends the New Covenant reading. There is blessing in fearing the Lord. Now, we look at that from Psalm 112, and, you know, I think at first glance we say, yes, that is definitely true. We know there is blessing in fearing the Lord. But I want to suggest that if we look at our lives, right, I think everyone here in this room has lived long enough to know that life is not all roses, right? We know there's blessing in fearing the Lord, but sometimes we look at our lives and we go, okay, like, where is this blessing? Or what does this blessing even look like? Because I'm not really even sure where to find it right now. I think if we're honest, we have those experiences quite often. But one of the amazing things, sometimes we might wonder to ourselves, like, but should we really be asking those questions? Like, we know on the one hand that God brings blessing to his people, and on the other, we're sort of asking ourselves, where is this blessing and what does it look like? But should we even be asking that question? Shouldn't we just take by faith that God gives blessing to his people? See, I think the amazing thing about the Psalms is that they allow us to ask the difficult questions like this. Sometimes what happens is we hold on to these questions and maybe these doubts in our hearts, but we never allow ourselves to voice them. And that doesn't really help us all that much. We wonder, where is this blessing? And the question nags at the back of our minds, and it causes doubts to creep in. And those doubts produce fear and anxiety. And before you know it, we've given into sinful patterns of fear and unbelief. But as we voice our questions to God, not questioning God, but legitimately asking him, Lord, where is this blessing that you have promised to your people? As we voice these questions, this psalm allows us to ask the question and then it answers the questions for us. Yes, God does bless his people. And yes, these blessings look like something in our lives. And maybe the trouble with us is not so much that we don't have blessing, but the trouble with us is that we don't have the eyes of faith to see the blessing that God has given. What we need is we need a greater sight of our God. We need a greater sight of the blessings that he is pouring out upon us. There is blessing in fearing the Lord. And this is why the psalm can begin with the words, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because yes, he does bless those who fear him. And then the psalm goes on to show us, here is what the blessing looks like. I want to break down these blessings of fearing the Lord under four headings, and they'll be all very brief. First, there is the blessing of God's law. Second, there is the blessing of God's provision. Third, there is the blessing of God's favor. And fourth, there is the blessing of God's security. The blessings of God's law, provision, favor, and security. And so I want us to look at those because these are the blessings that the psalm lays out for us. These are the blessings that we need to understand, that God is indeed pouring out on the lives of those who fear him. So I want you to notice first, the blessing that God gives us is the blessing of his law. The blessing of his law. Look with me again at verse 1. The psalmist writes, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Now, I want you to notice this man who fears the Lord. What is true of him? He delights in God's word. He is not burdened by God's commands. He does not see these commandments as merely a duty. Rather, they are his delight. And this opens up for us a better understanding of what it means for us to fear the Lord. It means delighting in the commandments of the Lord. We keep the law of God only as we come to delight in it. But you know, here's the amazing thing about delighting in God's law. That wasn't always true of us, was it? There was a time when we did not delight in the law of God. We could not delight in the law of God because the law of God only condemned us. In our fallen and unregenerate state, we were far from God. We were far from his commandments. We did not want to know him. We did not want to know his word. We did not want to delight in it. But what happened? What happened to us who were far from God? God has transformed our hearts and our minds by his Holy Spirit so that we are those who are regenerate. We are reconciled to God. And on the basis of that, the law of God becomes our delight. It becomes a blessing. So that when we come to the law, it no longer condemns us. Christ has borne the condemnation of the law, but the law becomes to us a guide to show us the way of righteousness, to show us the way of pleasing God. The very first blessing of fearing the Lord is that God gives us his law as a delight, not as a condemnation, as a grace, as mercy. This is what the Lord says in Jeremiah 31:33. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. Once the law had stood against us, condemning us for our sin and unbelief, but now, by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, our hearts are transformed. And the law of God that once condemned us has become our delight. The Word of God leads us in the way of blessedness. The way to joy and happiness and blessedness comes from following the Lord, not from following sin in the flesh. So that the man who fears the Lord knows by experience from following the law of God that this is the way of delight. That sin does not fulfill its promises. It only leads us to misery. But the law of God leads us to the way of blessedness. So then, let us give our attention to the blessing of the Word of God. Let us say with the psalmist, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." The Lord blesses the one who fears him by giving them his law as a blessing. We have been given the blessing of God's law. Second, we have been given the blessing of God's provision. We have been given the blessing of God's provision. Look with me again at verses 2 through 3. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Now, as we look at this blessing of God's provision, I want to take these two verses and I want to look at them backwards. So I want to start with verse 3 and come back to verse 2. I think you'll see why. It thematically makes a little bit more sense, at least to my brain. Hopefully to yours as well. Now, at first glance, we look at verse 3 and it seems like, oh, this is a really, really good verse, right? Like, we're going to all be rich. I mean, that's what it says. But what I want you to understand is that the way that Scripture talks about wealth and physical provision from God is that wealth and riches are connected with the covenant blessings of fearing the Lord. That's what's critical to understand. And this points us back to Deuteronomy 28, 3 through 6, where the Lord is talking to his people and he says to them, "Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle and the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in and blessed shall you be when you go out." What is the nature of the promise of this blessing? The nature of the promise is that God himself would provide for the needs of his people. Where is all this blessing coming from? As God's people remain in covenant with God, what happens? The blessing is coming from God. They're not working this up on their own. And so God himself becomes the one who will provide for his people. God is the one who pours out his blessing upon us. God is the one who provides for our needs. He does not leave us to fend for ourselves. As we think about this, we have to remember that in pouring out provision upon us, God pours out what is good for us. And sometimes that wealth and that riches that God says is good for us is not always the thing that we think is good for us, right? Like, to us, we might be like, yeah, you know, this would be great. I can retire young. I'll have lots of money. And God is saying, no, that's not the provision that I have for you. I have something a little bit different in mind. And sometimes, yes, sometimes God does bless us with physical blessings, doesn't he? And that is amazing. But sometimes it takes the eye of faith to see the goodness of God's provision, to see the blessing in what he has given to us each and every day. The truest blessing of this provision that comes from God is when we see that God is our provider. When we see that whatever God gives to us is good, so that we are content and satisfied with the blessing that God has poured out upon us. Notice that the purpose of the blessing of God's provision is that we might serve him in righteousness forever. The psalmist here says his righteousness endures forever. And if you take a look, we're not going to have time to go there. But if you take a look at 2 Corinthians 9, where Paul is pulling from this psalm, he talks about that what the Corinthian believers would do would lead to a growth in righteousness. So the purpose of God pouring out his blessing is so that our righteousness might actually grow. Commentators have pointed out here that there is a connection between this psalm, 112, and Psalm 111 that precedes it. And if you take a glance back at Psalm 111:3, you'll notice that it says of the Lord, his righteousness endures forever. It says the exact same thing of the Lord as it says in Psalm 112 of the one who fears the Lord. What does this mean? It means that the man who fears the Lord is continuously transformed into the image of God. In Ephesians 4:24, Paul instructs believers, put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The Lord cares for his people. He provides for us so that he might continue to cause us to grow more and more in righteousness and holiness after his image. Isn't our God great? That his desire for us is to grow in righteousness, and in order to guide us to that, he becomes himself our provider, to lead us in the way of righteousness. The next thing I want you to notice in these verses is the way that God's blessing of provision extends to our children. God's kindness toward us in providing for our needs flows toward the generations that follow us. Look again at verse 2. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Your children have been given to you by God, and they are a tremendous blessing. But also, God has given you to your children. And that is a tremendous blessing to them. See the goodness in the fatherly heart of God here. By his grace, he has extended the blessing of his provision to us. And he conforms us to his image that we might grow in righteousness. And then he uses that. He uses his working in our lives to pour out his blessing upon our children. How are we to respond to this blessing? Well, first we are to thank the Lord for the blessing of his provision. And this goes for the way that God provides for our daily needs. This goes for the way that, you know, we have a check that comes in every week or 2 weeks or every month. Thank the Lord for the blessing of his provision. It comes from him. Also, thank the Lord if you have been a person like me where the blessing that God poured out upon your parents flowed down to you. Thank the Lord if you have received the blessing of having godly parents or godly mentors or godly friends where God blessing them was a means of God blessing you. Thank the Lord for that. Acknowledge that God is your provider. Give back to him your praise and your obedience. Teach your children to give thanks to God. Teach your children that God calls us to obedience on the basis of his abundant provision. Because God provides for our needs, then let us serve him. And let us continue to grow in righteousness as he has enabled us. And because his provision flows through our children, let us teach them to serve him as well. We have been given the blessing of God's law. We have been given the blessing of God's provision. And third, we have been given the blessing of God's favor. The blessing of his favor. Look with me again at verses 4 through 5. The psalmist writes, light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and merciful and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. As I was looking at these verses, I came across this comment from John Calvin. Commenting on verse 4, he says, when the world is overwhelmed with troubles, God's grace shines upon the faithful. When the whole world is overwhelmed with troubles, God's grace shines upon the faithful. The Lord's favor does not depart from his people. Darkness in the Psalms, you know, go through maybe some time and trace this, and I think we've even seen this together before, but darkness in the Psalms is often used to depict danger, uncertainty, trouble, calamity, all of those things you don't want, right? Like you want to stay out of the darkness, and that's what darkness depicts. But notice that God does not leave his children in the dark. Darkness may come, but God causes the light of his favor to dawn for those who fear him. Notice that God's favor upon us. in times of uncertainty, in times of trouble, what does it do? It actually leads us to be gracious and merciful to others, even as God has shown mercy and grace to us. Looking back to the connection that this psalm has with Psalm 111, Psalm 111:4 says of the Lord is gracious and merciful. When we were enemies of God, he showed us mercy and grace. And he doesn't cease to pour out mercy and grace upon us now as his people. That is the beauty and the glory of the gospel. Our God has shown us favor in Jesus Christ, and that favor leads us to grow in mercy and grace and righteousness, that we might then pour out upon others what God has so graciously done for us. Think about that this week as you go into your week. Think about the ways that God has shown you grace and favor. I mean, stop and pause and really ponder. Think about how when you come to God confessing your sin, he delights to forgive you. He delights to call you his child. And then go into your week looking for someone to show mercy and grace to. That is the love of God. You know, Jesus said, "By this you will all men will know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have for one another." And it is this very love that God has poured out upon us that we are called to pour out upon each other and out upon the world. The blessing of God's favor also leads us to be generous and to lend to those who have need. Only a person who feels confident in his financial status is willing to give generously of his money to others. And when our confidence is in the favor of the Lord, we know that his favor and provision towards us will never cease. And this makes us willing and able to confidently give to others. Everything that we have comes to us from God, and so we share out of the abundance with which God has blessed us. Again, Psalm 111, speaking of the Lord, says, "He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever." It is because of God's generous provision to us that we are called to generously give to those that we meet that have need. We don't try to hold on to everything for ourselves because we realize that it doesn't really belong to us in the first place, and it doesn't really give us the blessing that we want to keep for ourselves. The blessing comes as we look to the Lord, as we rely on him for favor. It's important to remember as we think about giving that we are called to give to others as we are able. I think that's the point of what Paul is writing in 2 Corinthians 9. It could be that you are called to give of your money to those that have need. That could be the case for you. But it could also mean that you are called to give of your time, to give of your energy, maybe to give of your emotions. It's not always easy, is it? Sometimes we have enough trouble dealing with our own emotions, like we don't want to have to give to someone else emotionally. But that's part of giving generously, as we think about the ways that God meets our needs, that he is always there for us. So we are called to give generously to others. We have been given the blessing of God's law. We have been given the blessing of God's provision and God's favor. And finally, we have been given the blessing of God's security, the blessing of his security. Look with me finally at verses 6 through 10. "For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish." The confidence of the righteous can never be shaken, no matter what. Bad things may happen to us. Bad things do happen to us, don't they? But we have always the truth that we belong to God. The righteous, the one who fears the Lord, rests in God's fatherly care. Unbelievers do not have this confidence. Notice that it says that the one who fears the Lord, that he will be remembered forever. You know, I think if you were to ask a lot of people, I think it would be true that many people are afraid of being forgotten. They're afraid that when they are gone, their lives won't really have impacted anyone, and really no one will remember them. But for the righteous, for those that fear the Lord, we will never be forgotten because we will never be forgotten by our God in this life or the life to come. Whatever comes upon us, our security is in the unshakable truth that we are remembered by the Lord. You can never get to a place where God has forgotten you. I think that's why when you look through the Old Testament, you'll find these passages where it says something like, the Lord remembered Noah. The Lord remembered his people Israel. Not that God ever forgets, but God is reminding us that he never forgets. And because he never forgets us, our security can never be shaken. Bad news does come to the believer. And when it comes, it's natural for us to become fearful and anxious. The troubles of life are often very difficult to face. And sometimes what happens to us is that our past difficulties, even though, like, you know, you've been through past difficulties, but when you get to the other side, you think, well, I'm glad I got through that. But sometimes it makes you a little bit jumpy about going back into situations like that again. It can leave you fearful of what may happen in the future. But with the living God as our God, we can face the future. We can face the trouble that will come with firmness, knowing that we are secure in the arms of a heavenly Father. Trouble can never stop us from running to our gracious God. It can never stop us from running to him with our cares, our anxieties, and casting them upon him. He is always there for us. He will always hear, and he will always be our security. And so rest in God's care and sovereign control. Calvin says here, I think this is very helpful, genuine stability consists in reposing with unshaken confidence in God. That is where our stability lies. That is where our security lies. And this unshakable confidence enables us to give generously and to live faithfully serving the Lord. This is not true of the unbeliever. Their confidence rests only in themselves, and so when their confidence is taken away from them, they have nothing left. When trouble comes, they live in fear and anxiety. But those who fear the Lord have the blessing of living under the security of the Almighty God. The Lord has truly blessed us. Sometimes it takes a little bit of faith to see the blessings that we have been given. But when we look at our lives, we see that God truly has blessed us with his law. He has blessed us with his provision. He has blessed us with his favor. He has blessed us with his security. Because we belong to Christ, nothing can ever shake us out of our Father's hands. And so look for these blessings of the Lord in your life. Look for them each day, and then return thanks to the Lord for the blessings that you have been given. And you will know the peace and security that comes from being a child of the living God. Amen.